Selberg, and this is the CPA Trendlines podcast.
Hi, I'm Liz Gold with CPA Trendlines, and today's guest is Christina Garza. Christina has not one, but two bookkeeping, accounting, and advisory companies, Accounting Pros and Canna Comply. She works with a remote team of what she calls accounting unicorns out of Denver, Colorado, and Phoenix, Arizona, and of course, all over since they're remote. As owner of Canna Comply, she is able to support small businesses in an industry she truly believes in. She is proud to have a wonderful team of rockstar accountants who treat each client like a member of the family. She believes that one of her greatest accomplishments is finding a group of uniquely talented people who go above and beyond every single day. When she is not reading regulations, creating color-coded SOPs, working with her team, or chatting up a client, she can be found teaching at accounting seminars or acting as a harm reduction activist. I know I added a few things, but I think that's the best bio I've ever read.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show, Christina. Thanks for taking the time out.
Thanks for having me.
So set the scene for us. You've moved to Denver. You're running Accounting Pros. You start networking, you know, as one does. What did you start noticing about cannabis companies?
Yeah, so, you know, I started just getting introduced to cannabis companies. And the one thing that I noticed is that they lacked vision in their financials. So they had a really good goal, you know, with building a cannabis business, but didn't have the financials to back it up. And that's something that I really wanted to help our clients with. For me, it was really important to not only set the stage, but be able to follow through.
And so how did you decide to start taking on cannabis clients? Like, what did you do to prepare, you know, and why did you start a new company?
Right. So in my bio, you said that I write color-coded SOPs, which is totally true. So that should give you a clue as to kind of the person that I am. I'm really interested in helping people, but I'm also incredibly type A. So when I began my quest to help cannabis companies, I did a ton of research. And I found that people who are in businesses that serve the cannabis industry, but were not directly selling the product, were still experiencing some of the same issues that the cannabis businesses were. So higher premiums and losing banking and like insurance premiums and higher banking fees or just no banking at all, missing out on merchant services. And so my goal was to, again, serve those clients, but also to protect Accounting Pros and all the employees in it. So I was really careful to separate the two businesses, where one specifically handles cannabis businesses and the other handles everything else. And we've got separate banking, we've got a separate company, we've got everything is completely separate. In the event that, you know, if one thing happens on the cannabis side, it does not affect it on cannabis side. So that was super purposeful. And it actually, one of my, not worst fears, but, you know, some of my visions of that kind of stuff happening came true. We actually lost our professional liability renewal on our professional liability policy. And so I actually had to go find a new professional liability policy, which jacked up our rates super high on the Canna Comply side. And that's actually what I was planning for in the future. So by having them completely separate, you know, of course it was still high on the Canna Comply side, but nothing affected the Accounting Pro side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've heard that a lot of companies, cannabis companies, face what they call canna gouging, where they have professional services like jacking up their rates because they're in cannabis. So there, you just illustrated that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, you know, insurance companies and banking, you know, they're trying to be really conservative. And even though we're not actually doing anything that's federally illegal, they still see it as being too close to the market. So they have to really be careful with us. And I totally understand that. So that's why I was really mindful in the beginning that, you know, I don't want to lose merchant services for all of our clients at Accounting Pros. You know, if I have to quickly find something else with Canna Comply, that's fine. But, you know, I can still make my payroll on the other side.
Right. So talk to us about, you know, what systems, because I know you're a system person and a technology person, you know, what systems did you put in place when you started to, you know, launch Canna Comply?
Right. So, you know, in my discovery phase of going out and finding what it actually took to serve cannabis companies, I really developed a very detailed task list of, you know, how to onboard clients, how to handle the work on an ongoing basis, what happens, you know, if somebody loses banking, or, you know, how do we evaluate the business? And that all I needed to make sure was out of my head. And I think that's something that a lot of small business owners fail to do, is that they keep the processes in their head and they expect people to follow a process that, you know, isn't written down anywhere. And so we spent a ton of time documenting exactly how we planned on serving our clients, you know, every step involved. We even had detailed help docs and videos and GIFs showing, you know, exactly what we need to do, you know, how and when and why and all that. And that was really helpful for us because, you know, even though we set those up, we understood that those would eventually change. But we had a good baseline to start with. And so I didn't feel like I had to worry so much whenever I brought a new employee on and was training them, because they knew exactly what to do. And there wasn't any guesswork involved.
I love that you had GIFs. I'm just trying to imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just a quick GIF that just shows, like, you know, pointing to places on the screen and, you know, what a generated report looks like. And that's sometimes just much easier than having multiple photos that you take and put into a help doc.
Yeah. So talk to us about your sweet spot clients. Who are they for Canna Comply?
Yeah, so with Canada Comply, you know, it's really, really important first and foremost that our clients want to be in compliance. There are really high penalties for failing to be in compliance. And so that means that they need to have somebody in-house that can do things like send us receipts, answer our questions, provide backup documentation. Because as we're working through the file, we're slowly papering the file. So in the event of an audit, we can just say, oh, here you go. Here's all your documentation. This is how we got to this, you know, number on the financials. And there's no question about it. The clients that are, you know, slow to respond or don't respond at all or don't provide us information, you know, we can't do their work or it's just done poorly. And I feel like we're not really doing a great service to our clients. And so we really try to avoid that. And, you know, I mentioned before, you know, having amazing clients that are nice to us. I mean, that's such a simple thing to ask for. But, you know, the relationship is based on trust. And they have to trust that we have their best interests in mind, and they have to trust us enough to tell us what's going on in the business. And they have to, you know, always respond in kindness and, you know, work through issues if there are any issues in kindness. And if they can't, they wouldn't be a perfect client. And, you know, my goal is to keep my accountants happy, keep my clients happy. But, you know, we have to be operating from that place of, you know, compassion and trust.
Right. And so being nice, being transparent, being able to communicate, all of those things are really important.
Yeah.
So talk to us about a little bit about the size. You know, where are they in their, you know, life cycle of their business? Are they mom and pop? Are they bigger?
That's evolving over time. So in the very beginning, you know, a lot of the clients that we were working with were mom and pop, and that has slowly evolved into clients that have funding. So maybe they've had multiple investors who are bringing in, you know, multi-million dollars into the business. And, you know, what we're really looking for is for companies that have some kind of funding, whether it be self-funded or investment funds. Normally they're bringing, you know, a million plus to the table. And that million plus means that they can get licenses, they can, you know, get their space built out, they can hire us, and they plan on generating revenue rather quickly. And really, if they're an established business, they need to be making, they usually, I say between $1 and $15 million. That's a huge, huge range. $5 million is pretty good. You know, once they start to creep towards 15, 20, 20 plus, they really need to have somebody in-house who's going to be, you know, going after all their documentation and making sure that everything's on point and is really going to be a 40 hour a week person. You know, for us, we're just really great at being, you know, back office, coming in and not actually physically coming in, but going into the accounting file, maybe working 5 to 10 hours a week tops. So that's maximum. So that's really where we are. And the kind of services that we need to be able to offer them or that they'd like for us to offer them is really bookkeeping and payroll and some advisory work. We don't do any tax preparation or any tax advisory. We bring in some professionals for that. So that's just the bookkeeping, payroll, and advisory.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. And so when a client comes to you or a prospect comes to you, what would you say is the biggest issue that they're having? Is there sort of a common denominator that you see among these clients?
Right. So the biggest issue that I'm seeing with clients who are established is that they've tried to do this kind of work themselves, or they brought somebody in-house that was an accountant, you know, in their career, but didn't work with cannabis businesses. And there's a really specific way that you have to work with cannabis businesses. Number one, the documentation needs to be like crazy. You need to have every single thing on file because that's a requirement with the state of Colorado. You also need to build a chart of accounts to better tell the story of the business. And your goal is to get, you know, as many costs as you can into direct costs, because as you know, in cannabis, you can't write off sales and administrative costs. And I see people who have been treating the business where it looks like it's just any other business, but there's just that, you know, the fine tuning of the process and the workflow and how things are presented on the financials that make a really big difference at tax time.
Right. Yeah. And I know that you are a whiz with technology and use all kinds of different platforms to help sort of showcase that to clients. And we'll talk about technology in a little bit, but, so you have a successful remote team. I know that. And you are hiring. So anyway,
oh, yes. Call me.
Get in touch with Christina. But so tell us what you are looking for in an employee or a team member, and, you know, and what makes you want to bring somebody in for an interview, or maybe not in because, you know, you're remote, but what makes you want to sort of chat with somebody as a potential candidate?
Yeah. So bringing somebody physically into the interview is, we just don't do that. We have everybody interview via Zoom, so we can actually see each other face to face, which kind of takes that not being face to face thing out of the equation. You know, we're physically not together, but I can see them. I can see their expressions. We can have reports, and it's really great. And I'm looking for a really unique kind of person. So first and foremost, they have to be a great accountant. I mean, that's the job that we're doing. So they need to have those skills, but it doesn't stop there. A lot of the work that we do is going to be, you know, remotely on, you know, emailing back and forth or calling or having video conferences. And so I'm looking for really great communicators. And to me, what makes a great communicator is somebody who practices active listening. And with active listening, it's less about, you know, what am I going to say next? And more about listening, thinking through, you know, their response and finding a way to bring solutions to the table by being curious as well. And so, you know, that's really what I'm looking for. And, you know, accountants with a personality, because, you know, we have the bad rap of being, you know, accountants are dry or,
Right. And I
totally get that. That is definitely part of the accounting personality. And I can be that sometimes. But really, I need somebody who's engaging, who has interests outside of work, because ultimately, I'm looking for people who my clients can relate to. they feel comfortable with, they feel like they can, you know, open up with and talk to. And that just, that being relatable, being a great communicator, that's all kind of together in one package of the accounting unicorn.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the modernized version of accountants.
Right.
Yeah.
And really, you know, accounting is changing. And I know your listeners know this, data entry is going away, where, you know, automation and machine learning are becoming a bigger, I don't want to say threat, but something that's happening, a bigger trend in our field. And so I need to find people who are curious and who want to be an advisor and who, you know, they feel that connection with their clients and they want to help them go the distance by providing, you know, projections and analyzing their financials and actually telling them, translating what their financials are saying. Because most of the time our clients are great at, you know, at growing cannabis or selling it or, you know, doing other, you know, things with it. But the financials, they normally just kind of get pushed aside and it's something that you think about later. And so if you can find somebody who can engage the client and help them reach their goals by making their financials more understandable, I mean, that's the best thing I could ever ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with cannabis, with so much compliance, so many things to worry about. You don't want to worry about the relationship you have with your accountant. You
right. I don't want them to dread the phone call or dread the email. I want them to be like, oh my gosh, Gina's emailing me. What is this about? Awesome. You know, this is going to be a good conversation.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So talk to us about technology, because I know you're a big technology fan and you have a holy trinity of systems that you use. I want to hear about that. And also, you know, how do you know, what's the best way to tell a vendor is cannabis friendly? Because not all of them are.
Right. So our holy trinity is Xero and HubDoc and Box. And that's really for us to be completely transparent with our work and to help our clients be in compliance, which is really important. And the reason that we use HubDoc's a document management, receipt management tool, is because while some of our clients are banked, most of them are not, especially if they're not in the state of Colorado. It's really challenging because a lot of states aren't as, they aren't far along as we are in terms of banking. So, you know, we're not going to come into the office. We're not going to physically see any of the documents or cash changing hands. So we arm our clients with the ability to snap pictures of their receipts so that we have an up-to-date view of what's actually leaving the business. And that gets pushed into their Xero accounting file. And then we treat it as though it's a bank account, essentially like a petty cash account. And for clients that are, you know, just, they have tons and tons of receipts, it's the best way to get us information without getting a huge backlog. So I really, really like that. And it has optical character recognition. We can create rules so that we can treat transactions similarly. So for me, it's great. Plus we always have that information on hand in case somebody asks for it. When the information goes into Xero, again, we're duplicating that, the save of the receipt, because there's going to be an image saved in Xero. And then with Box, everything gets pushed over to Box and everything gets filed in a particular way so that if an auditor comes to us and says, give me everything from 2018, we can copy over all of their information, give them only what they need, and that's it. We don't need to give them anything else. And we also don't need to scramble to find information. Right. And that was finding that Holy Trinity was really us going out and researching the different companies and really finding out what those companies are about. I mean, I have a really close relationship with the people at Xero. I have a really close relationship with the people at HubDoc, not so much at Box because they're a much bigger company, but getting to know, you know, who they are, what they do, why they do their work and what they're comfortable with. You know, I'm pretty upfront about what we're doing. I'd rather hear them tell me, no, you can't use our software, than try to sneak something under the radar and get kicked out. But it's really just being open and honest about, you know, what you're doing. And HubDoc, and they don't care, you know, that we're handling cannabis companies. I mean, their goal is to get more clients on their platform, and they don't have any, you know, regulations to worry about. Xero as well. I mean, they're just a repository for all the information, you know, the inflows and outflows of cash. They don't mind. Some of the companies that we have to be more careful with are people who actually move money. So, you know, accounts payable software or payroll software. Those are ones that we have to be a little bit more, you know, mindful of and really make sure that we're asking, you know, can you do this? Is this okay? And getting that answer in an email, you know, so we can point back to it. But yeah, it's just in every software that we use, and that's just the software that we love, there could be something more amazing out there that you might love. So it's just investigating really and then talking to the people at the software companies.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I think that's key. So what advice do you have for accountants or CPAs out there who are thinking about getting into cannabis?
Yeah, so I know that there's some hesitation getting into cannabis, especially around your CPA license. So first of all, you know, make sure that you, you know, do your research ahead of time so that you don't have any of those fears going in. Many states do not mind if you're working in cannabis, but it's good to ask. And then I would advise you to start another business, you know, kind of like we did. Make sure that you're separating your main business or your main clientele from your cannabis clients. In the event that anything happens, you want to make sure the business that you've spent years and years building is protected, and the new business that you're working on is also protected, and they're totally separate. And then researching the local laws, so your state and local laws around everything to do with cannabis, and make sure that you're documenting those rules and putting them into your process. So for example, in Colorado, you have to have 6 months of receipts or documentation ready for an auditor at any given time. So that let me know that we needed to have a process around that. So being familiar with your local and state laws will help guide you in your process development. So get it all written down and then, you know, just know that you might have to change the way that you work as the regulations change. So just, you know, stay on top of those regulations. And there's tons of resources for you. There's books on Amazon. There's actually a company called Canaregs, and we downloaded a bunch of their regulations when we first started. But just going to your state and looking on their website and reading around is a great way to start. But once you feel confident and you know what you need to do, then just go for it. I know, you know, I'm less risk averse than most accountants. I know a lot of accountants are very risk averse. But if you've done the research, you protected your entity, and you're ready to go, you know, don't hesitate. Just go out there and help people, because I think people in cannabis really need our help, especially as, you know, regulations change. They need to know that their business is also protected.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Well, Christina, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.